I don't know about you, but each time I get to this particular passage in the lectionary, it just works against my heart in multiple ways. As I read the impending death of the little girl, my heart goes out to the father who is dealing with, he's searching for that moment, that cure that might happen. And then I hear of the woman who for 12 years has been suffering. And did you listen to what the scriptures tell us? She endured much under many physicians. And I think all of us can probably relate to that at some point, even about ones we have loved and lost. And that she had spent all she had and was no better, but grew worse. And each time I hear that, my heart cringes for the woman. My heart cringes for the father. And I keep thinking about all of us who have been in that place where we have longed for that cure, longed for that healing, longed for the moment when we could rejoice as Jairus rejoiced over the resurrection or the resuscitation of his daughter. But our life experience hasn't always had that same result. So then how do we enter into this scripture knowing that sometimes God's will is not the same for us as it was for these two? I think that's a hard place when scripture speaks to us personally in those places of hurting, especially if grief is immediate and present. We don't even want to listen to this scripture. We might look at it and say, that's a Sunday. I'm not going to church. God didn't do that for me. I'm staying away. Because sometimes we don't quite get why some are healed and some aren't. And we really would like all of us to be healed. We would like not to hear another death to cancer. We would like to hear not another death to leukemia. We would like to hear not another death to Alzheimer's or dementia. We would like to hear that people don't have to have their kidneys replaced. We would like to know that the time had come when the new Jerusalem was present and there was no death, no disease, no hurting, no wailing, but it's not here yet. But we are called by Jesus to believe it is coming. And as I thought about this scripture, I thought about what else does it tell us? You know how scripture has multiple dimensions and it can hit us at different times in our lives in different ways. Why would we proclaim it here in the midst of the body of Christ? Because I think it speaks to the church. In Ephesians, we hear that the church is the bride of Christ. The church is a woman. We have two healings. Both female. We have two women who not only are they both, well, women are female. Not only do we have two women, but each one has a relationship to 12 years. 12 is significant to the people of Israel because 12 is the tribes. So maybe one of the depths is this is a conversation around how God, through Christ, can heal God's people. That at one point, aren't we the church or wasn't Israel? Remember when Israel was out on the outskirts? Israel was abandoned. Israel was taken away from its promised land. Israel lost everything, all its money, all its position, all its power, and they were in exile, like the woman who had been exiled because she had an issue of blood. And God restored Israel to its promised land, but did not heal them the way they wanted with a king on the throne. But they did become restored. And the young girl, the 12-year-old girl, there is a new life when she comes back to life. And isn't Israel or isn't the church often that new birth? That new birth of a church? Christ came and the church became through Peter, the head. So is this a story not just about personal healing, but about God's willingness to heal God's people, God's church. And if we, the church, remember what Jesus asks us to do, to only believe, not to fear the world, not to fear our future, because we will have a perfect future in Christ. But in order for the woman, in order for Israel, in order for us to get healed, didn't she have to get close to Jesus? Didn't she have to touch him so that she could be made well? And the power went out of him. He remembered immediately that the power went out of him into her, and full healing happened in her life. So what if this story for us today is about the healing of God's church? What if this story for us today is not to spend our time, not to spend our energy, not to spend our money on things of the world that will make our church be what we want it to be, what we want it to be? What if we focus and center our attention on the one who set us free, the one who liberates us, the one who brings redemption into our personal lives, will bring redemption into the church's life if we, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church, focus first on Christ? What if our energy and our purpose is to get a closer relationship to Jesus Christ? Look how he drew crowds, crowds so great that the disciples couldn't figure out who touched him. They were all in on him because they wanted that miracle touch. Right now, the world wants a miracle touch, but what the world needs is the touch that Christ offered her, and Christ offered the baby, and Christ offers you and me, and offers the church, and offers the world. The world needs love. The world needs to know that the center of the church isn't anything that is an idol, but is strictly God and his Son and Jesus Christ, and the love that is represented and put out into the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Healing will come to us, the church. God's church will have a life in the future because we choose to have at the center of our lives, because we choose to hold on to touch the cloak of Christ, to come to Christ's table often and frequently so that we are re-nourished by the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't need to worry about what the future church will look like, because God's got that. We don't need to manipulate and plan and program it into what we want it to be, because that's what it was, and that's what gave us life. It gave us life. God's got another plan. Well, we really don't know what God's plan looks like for the new life and new birth of God's church. But God isn't going to let God's church die. It will be healed. But it will be healed and brought into being as God's will is done. We don't know which ones may die, which ones may live, which ones are new expressions that we kind of shake our heads and go, "You're calling that worship?" But if in the midst of that shaking head worship, lives are transformed, can we judge what's happening there? This table, this beautiful table, this wonderful table, is the table that feeds us. It nourishes our bodies. It nourishes our spirits. It reminds us of the healing power of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is believe. We don't have to fear the future because God's got it. We only have to believe that it will look as God has promised. And whatever road that takes us there is the road that God has given us to travel. But we never travel alone. God is with us even to the ends of the earth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.